The all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class has arrived at Mercedes-Benz Oakville. Over 100 C300 and C400 models are incoming or in stock. This incredible new vehicle comes with attractive introductory lease rates and surprisingly low payments. Contact Mercedes-Benz Oakville to arrange your test drive. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.com.
Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
On the air from the Hockey Central studio, Darren Millard along with Glenn Healy and John Shannon.
Oh,
for those watching
on
television. Today. I like doing that when people don't have their ears on, and then I just start the show.
Thanks for the heads up.
They don't know that we're on the air yet.
I'm still talking about
bad Christmas gifts.
Bad Christmas gifts that teams bought us.
Gerard Gallant will join us from the Florida Panthers. They've had a very nice start to the first half of the season. Are they ahead of schedule? Would you say so?
No, they're behind. Connor McDavid. Mister. What are they doing? They're messing up the grand scheme.
No, they got their guy last year, Glenn. Oh, Aaron Ekblad, 18 going on 28. He's done the job for them. And to think that Dale Talon was actually toying with all of us at draft day. Yeah, I might take someone else. I might need a forward. The guy that they really wanted, he couldn't parlay a deal for. And Ekblad's done okay in Sunrise.
Nick Bjugstad. Has become a household name.
He's the TJ Oshie of his time.
Yeah?
Well, just shootout specialists,
Well, it's not just that. He's their leading point producer. He's got a dozen goals. They only have one player with more than 10 goals.
Okay, so what's your... We haven't talked since the... Is the shootout over?
They only have one player with more than seven goals.
Is it not time to put an end to
a
20-shooter gimmick?
Come on.
So what do you do?
I would 3-on-3. 3-on-3, just end this the traditional way.
Well, hold on.
20 shooters.
No, hold on. So what you would do is go 4-on-4, 3-on-3, and if it's still tied after 3-on-3, what would you do?
2-on-2.
Okay.
See, we used to do that with the Rangers. We did that in practice.
Yeah,
with Mike Keenan.
See, you just
it was
lost
fun. We'd go 5-on-5, then 4-on-4, and 3-on-3. We got down to 1-on-1. It was breakaway, end to end, but we always ended it the right way.
The right way is playing 2-on-2 or
1-on-1. No, we're just blethering here. But
when you were 1-on-1, why not pull the goalie and play 2-on-1.
Well, the goalie became the most important person because he was the one who would feed the breakaway pass. Mm-hmm. So Mike Richter couldn't handle the puck to save his life, which was perfect. So I ended up playing most of them.
Let me put it this way. You won in practice then.
That's all I did is won in practice.
I think, and I'm going to put my old league hat on here, and Glenn want to know when he was at the PA and I was at the league, we would sit across the table from each other every once in a while. I think it was good for the game. I think it was good to show people outside the hardcore fan that's going to watch anyway. I mean, this made two national newscasts in the United States.
Well, and we had that same conversation we had in Coley's office where we talked about the shootout at the All-Star game.
Yes.
And I was to deliver the message to the players, let's make it a YouTube moment.
Have fun.
And Ovechkin took it to an entirely different level with the sunglasses and the hat and the water bottle.
Was he not supposed to do that?
That's what we wanted. Yeah. It was just to gain some national interest.
Absolutely.
National attention, get it on a different format, and the players bought in. But this one, it may be exciting to watch, but
that's
20s.
Hold on. It may be exciting to watch. You're admitting it was actually exciting to watch. And
I
you
couldn't
don't
turn
like
away.
It.
No, I couldn't
I,
turn away.
I know.
Away.
And I think that there's something to that. Actually, what a novelty of trying to entertain the fans. Amazing thought.
Are you guys of the belief that the shootout should operate under the Olympic rules where you can reshoot or go through your lineup?
No, I like going through your lineup. I like watching guys that suck at something. Doing it.
Well, I tell you what, there was a couple of
it's like you get a defenseman who has never had a breakaway. and you're watching him chop that puck down the ice, and it's in three different pieces. And even if it goes in, the entire puck is not in the net, so it's no goal.
Two guys that you thought, oh, he'll be lucky to hit the net. Derek McKenzie ripped one and beat Holtby, and Dylan Olsen ripped one and beat Holtby. I mean, and to me, you're going, wow.
Nothing to take anything away. Not to take anything
guys,
away from them.
You guys, you're so negative about the game.
But a goalie coach once told me, Bill Dark from the London Knights, said, if those guys don't know where it's going, how are you supposed to stop it? Talking about the guys that chop the puck up and end up scoring.
Well, except that it was fun to watch. I mean, why can't we just have fun? I mean, I know you're too serious sometimes. You know, you are. Have fun,
but even
relax,
enjoy it. Even 3-on-3, you still have to get to the shootout. If the players' association
wouldn't go for it anyway, so it's just a waste of even us talking about
what,
it.
What, to go adding the 2 minutes to overtime?
Boy, that'd be extra work for the players, and what are you giving me back in return, collectively bargained? And all the radios are now being changed as we speak. Richard Ponick, how about him on Saturday? There's that sick move on the breakaway against Detroit. There's a guy you never would have expected to have those.
See what he did there?
I know.
Like he cupped it and
backhand
just
as
pushed it.
We predicted it on the show. Well, not so much. Anyways, it was long, entertaining, and
it wasn't that long. I mean, it was
19 minutes.
It was 19 minutes from
start to finish.
40 shooters was 19 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't feel like 19 to me. It was exciting.
You know what?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Yeah, it came from the stats department. Or 17 to 19 minutes, yeah. I'm going to check that. I tend not to take some of your opinions about social outings and what's exciting and what's not.
Okay, for example, why do you bring this up?
I just find you
a little different?
Yeah. Oh. Your tastes and what you consider to be exciting.
Yeah, the voice
and passing
of reason, John Shannon,
is not exactly
well, that's not
what
fair.
I would buy into.
Oh, come on.
Let's get John's iPod and see what music choices are on it.
A little Kenny Chesney?
Okay,
I'm with that.
Nothing says excitement like Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney's good.
Do you know who Kenny Chesney is?
No.
It's Hockey Central with Darren Millard, Glenn Healy, and John Shannon.
Can I vent for a little
bit?
Yes. Let's vent. Let's talk about it already? You know, 16 years I played, and Christmas is around the corner. Mm-hmm. I got some of the stupidest gifts from teams for Christmas. I'll bring up a couple. Maybe John can talk about the stupid gifts he bought people at Hockey Night in Canada. Did you buy gifts at Hockey Night in Canada?
Liquid.
Do you remember the the line, don't look a gift horse in the mouth?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. The Islanders 1 year bought us a wallet that fit in no pocket of anything that you owned. Couldn't fit in your jean pocket. Couldn't fit in your suit pocket.
Are you sure it was a wallet?
It was a wallet. No money in it because the Islanders had no money back then. But that was a way better gift than
the year before. Bad luck to give a wallet without money in it.
Where they bought us a gym bag.
A gym bag.
A gym bag. But it was a weird gym bag in the sense it was about 3 feet high and 1 foot wide, so it could fit in one of those skinny lockers. But you really think Pat LaFontaine was going to go to the gym with a gym bag with the Islanders logo on it? And then Toronto was by far the best, where they bought us a soap sculpture. And I remember at the
Steve
end of the
probably
year.
Probably loved the soap sculpture.
The end of the year leaving, and I looked around the lockers we had just cleaned out, and there was no less than six of the sculptures still in the lockers. Players had just left them.
What was it of?
No idea. I kind of thought abstract. I knew what it was, but this kind of is a family show. So
why is your chair so high? You're like sitting on the edge.
I just came here and sat down. Like, I'm a rookie to this show. I don't come every day like you and bore people across the country. I'm new.
I was wondering when you were going to start treating me. Like, there's that grace period, and I think I'm at the end of that with Glenn.
You think
he's going to start treating me like he does Elliot.
Oh, no. You're way sharper than Elliot.
Because you...
Elliot's easy.
You are hard on him.
He likes it, though, I think.
I think he does.
Truly, he likes it.
He got yelled at by Doug McLean a couple of weeks ago, and he couldn't be more excited to sit beside Doug yesterday and knowing he was going to get screamed at again. He actually enjoys the beatdown a little bit.
Elliot and I, we've been on the road a lot together doing playoff rounds and playoff series, and he thinks differently than me, so it's a natural that we would collide.
LA Kings.
Hold on. Most people think different than you. Most people think
I'd
different.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Come on.
Yes.
I mean, you're a little out there sometimes.
Yeah. You are at the opposite ends of Twitter. You won't go anywhere near it, and he's addicted to it.
He doesn't even watch the games. He just reads them on Twitter, and, hey, that was offside. Someone just tweeted that. Well, I watched
That's
it.
That's not right.
I watched it, and it's not offside.
That's taking it to a bit of a degree.
Like Twitter, seriously. There's how many of them, Johnny, up in Toronto? You're up at the games on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 35 reporters there. And if you follow all 35, Leafs score 1-0. They all tweet at the same time, 1-0 Leafs.
I don't get that.
Well, no, but why not? I mean, because not everybody follows every guy.
Okay.
And so you're suggesting that if there are four newspapers in town, if one paper has the summary of the game, the other three shouldn't carry the summary of the game?
That's a logical counterpoint.
Again, logic comes through. Common sense comes through. I mean, people have the great thing about Twitter is you can choose who you want to follow, and you actually can choose if you want them to follow you too, which is great.
Yeah.
So you can use it as a source of information, or you can use it as blather.
And I've made my choice clear.
I'm
not following anybody. You included.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Or Darren.
And that's
great.
But
when you look over top of media row during a game,
oh,
everybody's on their phone. Stanley Cup final last year. Everybody's on their phone. Kipper watches the game. Kip watches the game on his iPad in the press box watching the game. I've never seen that before. But he because he listens to the game, listens to you guys, while watching the iPad, even though he's
He's a little more involved this year, so he won't be doing that. He'll actually be listening
broadcasting
and being part of the
Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to the Winter Classic?
I am, yeah. I haven't missed one. I've been to all of them. And I can recall the very first one, Edmonton. Mm-hmm. I showed up. I had no idea what the game was going to be about.
Right.
And I'm, dressed like I'm going to a wedding, and it's minus 40. I had dress shoes on, and Chris Cuthbert did the game, and he decided that he wanted to have the booth
open.
He had to have it open because he did that with football. And I've never been colder in my life. And yet it was a great spectacle in the sense the game ended, and they had to kick the fans out. They didn't want to leave. And
they were stuck there.
No, they wanted to stay. They were in the event, in the seats, having a good time, and they physically had to tell them, get out.
That was also the greatest alumni game. When you think about alumni games, the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers, and the people that showed up to play in that game.
Messi was still playing in the NHL, and he showed up to play in that game.
Yeah.
Because I did the Ranger game the next day, the Senators and Rangers at MSG, and he flew back and played in that game on the Sunday, I guess.
Yeah.
When you think back on that, probably shouldn't have happened.
Those are moments that should happen.
Oh, yes.
And
the player playing in an alumni game and then flying back and playing.
Well, it really tells you how he was contributing to the Canucks, too, at that point.
The Rangers.
even them.
There's a couple things Mess did. He coach never told him when to go on the ice. He just changed. And when he wants to play an alumni game, you don't tell him no. It's Mark Messier.
The other thing, it was so cold. And people who are watching and listening in the United States, it was so cold your beer was freezing in Edmonton. People were sitting in the ends, and they would try to take a sip of their beer, and it was frozen. That's a little.
And last year's game, Toronto-Detroit, was probably memorable as I've taken part in. It was just to watch half the crowd in blue, half the crowd in red. And if it was Detroit that scored, the red stood up. Mm-hmm. If it was Toronto, it was the blue. But just the picturesque snow all day, just a gorgeous environment.
And I took the second period and sat with the fans for the second period in Ann Arbor.
Did they appreciate that?
They didn't know who I was, and I really appreciated that too.
Was it fun?
It was. Well, I think it was part of the. I think it was. Part to be important to be part of the actual event rather than sitting behind glass all day. You're between the benches.
Yeah, but I've got Pierre Maguire beside me.
I went and sat with Joe Bowen and for two periods.
Yeah,
just because the window was open, you got to.
Sitting down in one of the sections for the second period, you got a real feel for what was going on. And there were a few empty seats, so people And people were constantly leaving. You know, people would say, okay, I've been here. I've said I've been here. I've had enough now. People were leaving constantly. And so there was probably 92 or 93,000 that stayed, but there were another 10,000 that left as the day went on because they went and they were well-dressed too.
Yep.
And didn't realize how cold it was going to be.
The other memorable moment, there's two others that jump out. The game in Chicago-Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there early and was walking around just kind of getting a bit of a flavor of what the outdoor game was going to be like in Chicago. And there were two groups of fans. There was the Chicago fans, and they were outside. There was about 250 of them chanting, "We've got the cup. We've got the cup." And then there was the Detroit fans, equally as mass, 250 of them. The Detroit chanting, "We've got the cup." Chicago chanting, "We've got a job. We've got a job." So I mixed it up a little bit. But that was a memorable moment as well.
Wrigley was a fun place to be.
Yep.
Calgary was cool too.
I wasn't there. So.
That was one where somebody said
that's not a winter classic though.
Heritage classic.
It's a heritage classic.
Somebody asked Doug about if he was excited about it. He said, "I don't want to go to a game indoors. Never mind outdoors." That sums up Mac.
Then the last memorable moment for me was the game in Boston where I decided to go stand on the pitcher's mound.
Oh,
ooh. I don't.
You're not a baseball guy.
I'm not a baseball guy. I don't care about baseball. You've got to stand up to stretch after seven innings. Something's wrong with your sport. But I went and stood on the mound, and this big security guy came up to me and basically said, "What are you, a moron? Get off that mound. Only pitchers stand on that mound." Sorry.
Here's Gerard Glant. But I got yelled at Fenway for walking on the grass this year during the playoffs last year. I didn't understand. Dress shoes, grass. Gerard Glant, outdoor games. Are you a fan of them?
I never played in one, but yeah, I think I'd really like that. Yeah, definitely.
He wants it in Sunrise, though. He wants it to play or a Joe Robbie Stadium, whatever it's called, Sun Life Stadium now.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
How did you go about picking your shooters for that 20 shooter shootout win?
Well, we usually have a list of about four or five guys that, you know, usually a core list, and then after that, it was just sort of who was the closest guy to me in the bench.
Now, Gerard, be honest. At one point late in the shootout, did you actually say who hasn't shot yet?
The only reason I didn't say that is because I had my little lineup card in front of me, and as soon as the guy shot, I'd scratch his name off. So I knew who was left in there, but that was the only reason. If I wouldn't have done that, a lot of nights I don't do that. For some reason, I did it, but that's the only reason I knew we had guys left, which guys were left.
So how do you decide who's going to shoot a second time?
Just from the first time when they went, I thought they had a real good opportunity to score. You know, Jokinen scored a nice goal, and then Bjuk said he had him beat clean, and he beat him with a good shot. So I thought the guys that were shooting the puck, especially because the ice was getting bad, that they had the advantage. So the guys that were shooting the puck did a real good job.
Gerard, I would have picked you to shoot, and it would have been over after 10.
Well, I mean...
But that's illegal.
Last time I shot, I beat Budaj in fight, if you remember that, a year and a half ago.
Okay, how bad can the ice deteriorate during a shootout?
No, I don't think it's not as good as it used to be when they flooded it, obviously, but you were watching highlights from before when I seen a couple of years ago, but it wasn't that bad of ice. It's just that the more guys go down the middle of the ice and the skates going in there and they're making grooves in the ice, so I think it's... manage when you're going late in a shootout like that, but shooting the puck is probably your best option because a couple of guys went in there and the puck was bouncing a lot on them, so they're coming back to the bench and the ice is getting dead. I don't know, I can't see it, but just from the guys coming back saying, to the other guys going.
Now, Gerard, is your team surprise you this year at all? Because you are surprising a lot of people north of the border here with just the success, the way the team's played, the wins, just how it's kind of all come together.
I just think it's like you just camp. We stress. It's going to be 23 or 25 guys that have success, and we know with injuries and everything, and guys coming in and out of the lineup. But I think our team has surprised me a little bit. Yes, because they're working hard, competing hard, and we're involved in every game. And I think we're doing a real good job. That goes a long way with saying our goaltending has been great this year. But I think a lot of parts of our game have been real good in defense. It's probably better than I thought it was, starting the season. I think they're forward, beating and doing a really good job defensively. So we continue to win these close games. We'll have a chance to win every night, and I think the guys have a lot of confidence right now.
Gerard Glant with us, the head coach of the Florida Panthers, who may or may not be going through a reentry at certain periods of during this conversation. When you find a good spot, I'm just going to ask you to stay there because it's fading in and out.
Oh, I didn't know.
There you are.
So, Gerard, you talked about your defense, and I don't think enough people have seen Aaron Ekblad to play this year. I think those of us that followed him in junior hockey understand what a great player he is. But one would think he's the consensus Calder Trophy winner as Rookie of the Year. Can you explain what Aaron Ekblad has done and how mature he is on the ice?
Well, from the rookie camp on this in the summertime, he's been outstanding. He gets better every time he goes on the ice. And, I really didn't expect him to be as good defensively as he is. I mean, everybody knows he can get some points and gets the puck up the ice. And, you know, he's got some offensive talent. But to do what he's doing defensively as an 18-year-old in the league, it's beyond me. I mean, he keeps going out there every night, and he's a solid, solid guy. And he's playing at least 20 minutes a game for us. So nobody looks at him as an 18-year-old kid on our team. I mean, he's just so mature and the way he acts and handles himself.
So where does that come from? Obviously, there's talent, but a lot of guys have had talent and not been able to play at that level at that age or at any point. So is it hockey sense? We hear all about hockey smarts.
Well, definitely. He's really intelligent defensively. Like I said, a lot of the kids coming into the league, you know, they're 22, 23, 24 before they really pay attention to playing solid defense. Young players have a tough time in the defensive zone. But this kid, he reads the play real well. He's smart defensively. And, you know, maybe it's because, you know, he's been an elite player all the way up. And he's a big, strong kid, and he can handle himself. But, you know, taking that step to the OHL as an exceptional player, you know, when he was, what, 14 or 15, mm-hmm. that probably made a big difference, too, because he's just seen the step in doing the same thing he's doing in the NHL as he did in the OHL. So we're real happy with his game.
You following your goaltender on Twitter yet? We seem to ask you this every time. We keep looking for an update.
No, I don't follow Twitter.
Gerard, you are one smart man.
Your goalie's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, that's good. As long as, you know, he's been fun, he's been good, and, you know, he's been a solid guy for us. So, you know, that's part of winning and having fun in hockey. Be a funny guy and enjoy it. Thank you. You know, feel confident. And, he has fun and he enjoys the game.
How do you decide when Montoya plays then? I mean, Montoya got 2 points for you last night in Philadelphia, but knowing Roberto, he would want to almost play every night. How is that decision made? Are you involved in it? Who makes, and does number one make the final decision?
No, I mean, obviously I make the final decision.
Just going to get you to hold the phone again because we seem to have some drop off here. Are you back?
Really? Yeah.
There you are.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Robbie Tallis and myself, we go over the goalie schedule and, you know, sort of just, you know, check up with it and, our schedule has been real good. I mean, we played the least amount of games in the league, so Roberto's had a lot of games and played very well for us. And we're just going to go with the hot hand for now, but we know it's going to get real busy in the near future, and then Monty's going to go in there and play a lot more games. So, you know, we'll just take it game by game and see where we're at. And like I said, we're confident both of those guys when they play.
So how far in advance have you penciled starters in?
2 games. I mean, we look at the schedule. Obviously, we have only had 2 or 3 back-to-back so
right.
far. Monty's played any back-to-back. So, you know, that's part of the, you know, I mean, Louis's not a young guy, and, you know, we don't want to overwork him and, you know, play him too many games. So most of those back-to-back, it's going to be one guy play one night and the next guy play the next night, and then we'll look at the schedule. But we're going to get real busy here in January and February, so that'll be a real task for us.
A couple of years ago in that MasterCard Memorial Cup final in Mississauga, a guy from Summerside went against a guy from Kincora, and now you're both in the National Hockey League as head coaches with Dave Cameron.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, that was real fun because I won it that night, so it was great. But Dave's a great guy, and he's going to do a good job in Ottawa. And, you know, he works real hard, and, you know, like I said, he's a good friend and a good person, so wish him all the best of luck in Ottawa.
But I noticed that neither one of you guys hired McLean as an assistant.
He didn't want to. He Doug's too big to be an assistant. He's too good for that, and he's either a president, GM, or a head coach, so he wouldn't take an assistant job.
But we want you to take him. You're missing the point. We're happy to let him go and work with you and tell you exactly what you should do as an assistant trainer.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why you're worried about that. He does that now. You know, on those off days, the phone rings, and, you know, the guy from Summerside phones the guy from Summerside, right?
How have the crowds been? How have the crowds been, Gerard, in Florida? Is it a challenge?
No, it isn't. You know what? We talked about it early in the season. you know, we're not going to worry about that. And, you know, they're getting better. I mean, the team's playing better, so it's going to get better, and we know that. So it's not a distraction at all, to be honest with you. I mean, people make a big deal of it, but our players come to the rink and we play hard. And, you know, it doesn't worry about the guys at all, not one bit.
Before we let you go, how long would that shootout have lasted if Heels and I were going head-to-head?
Well, there's two good goalies there. I didn't score many on Heels. He was pretty good. And you, I haven't played in the old-timers league in Summerside when you come home in the summer yet. So once I get in shape, I'll start and I'll check to see how good you are. But I know my son Jason scored a lot of goals in
here. Yeah. Jason's really good on Saturday. Then the Sunday part of it, he kind of fades out. Thanks for doing this, and all the best of the holidays and to the family and Mama.
Thanks, Scott. You too.
All right, there's Turk, Gerard Gallant. It's kind
of weird. You can't get into PEI mode when you're here in Toronto.
I know.
You get into PEI mode. Say hello to Mama. Hey, Turk. All this stuff.
All the nicknames.
What is that?
Turk is his nickname. We can't use nicknames out there, but we can use nicknames in here. Right, Please. Heels?
Right,
Shanny?
Okay, Mallard.
You're not a big nickname guy, though,
no,
are you, John?
I'm not. I am not.
Why? Where does that come from?
I think it comes from out there. I think it comes from being on Hockey Night in Canada, and actually calling people by their name. But it's quite novel.
The most famous guy on Hockey Night in Canada,
Don Cherry,
goes by a nickname predominantly.
Donald S. Cherry to me.
What was did you ever have a goofy nickname, Glenn? Like beyond Heels? Like, was there one that just came out of left
field? I didn't
have
a nickname until I started in television at Sports.
No, JS.
I think Ray Ferraro one time went on after we beat Pittsburgh, game 7, semifinals. And he called me Barney.
And for Barney Rubble?
Because I was...
No, for Barney Rubble.
Yeah, I was like purple from making 100 saves because the team was so crappy.
So. From Barney, the dinosaur. That stuck for a while.
Went from there. So then I re-nicknamed Ray. I called him the seagull. The seagulls do two things. They're either squawking or they're something else.
You're terrible.
So Touche on ESPN, that's who was covering the games back then. So they ran with the Barney nickname like it was...
And by the way, on ESPN, he was...
So they started calling you Barney on the broadcast?
Yeah.
Well, but I mean...
it wasn't even my nickname. And of course, just made it up right on the air.
And Ray was known as Chicken Parm.
Yeah.
Right? Because every night at ESPN, all he did was order Chicken Parm.
Ray wasn't the smartest.
He's still around. He's still around.
That's okay. I mean, he went to the one team and he wore number 20 and he bought his wife a beautiful number 20 with diamonds. And he went to another team... Changed his number to 33. They had to get another one made. Went to another team, changed his number again. Wouldn't you stay with the same number so you didn't have to buy another piece of jewelry? No?
No. I'm with you on that one.
And just go with a single-digit number. You save money on
what
the diamonds.
What number were you?
Well, I had to change my number once because certainly wasn't going to go to Los Angeles and take Rogie's number down from the rafters.
Did you ask? Right?
I actually didn't even know his number was retired, to be honest. I mean, back then, the LA Kings, none of their games were covered. There wasn't like you could watch them on TV. My first year in, I think, 85, 86, we had maybe 7 games on TV. Mm. And then Gretzky got there, and then we had all of our games and practices on TV.
Hey, listen,
one guy changed the world in California.
Wayne Gretzky made a few of us a lot of money.
Hey, what was it like when he first walked in the room? When did you meet him the first time as a teammate?
I sat beside him at training camp in Victoria. And there were more reporters covering the LA Kings camp than the Stanley Cup finals the year before. And I spent the entire camp saying, you get off my equipment, please. Just would you please move? Could you get off my equipment? Because they all clamored around Wayne. And it was a spectacle. Like, I never had... We had 2 reporters that covered the team and there wasn't a harsh word written about any one of us, no matter what we did. But, you know, they'd ask him questions. If you had a kid, would he be American or Canadian? You know, and every question so scrutinized, but he handled it perfectly.
Beliveau-esque.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when we've gone through all the Jean Beliveau stories the last 2 weeks, and guys like Wayne and Mario Lemieux learned so much from watching a guy like Beliveau.
But he would go out for practice, and he would grab Larry Playfair's stick. Best player on the ice. Then the next practice, he'd grab Phil Sykes' stick. best player on the ice. Didn't matter the curve, the length. He was just absolutely the best player on the planet at the time. And Robbie Fatorik, I remember he was the coach and called me in the office and he said, okay, Glenn, I need you to do one thing. Okay, whatever you want, coach. Yep. You better stop Wayne in practice. Because if you don't, your ass is out of here. And he was right. So when it came to practice, you know, it's Jimmy Fox, whatever. He shoots five hole every time. If he scores, he scores. When it was Gretz, man, game seven, Stanley Cup final, you're bear down. Well, no chance.
The knock on Wayne, if there was ever one, was the breakaways.
That's a coach who made a fatal flaw in an Olympics.
No, that was long before that.
Well, when you get 100 of them, mm-hmm. yeah, you might not score on 30 of them. But if I'm going to pick one player, the only other player I would pick on a breakaway not to want to face would be Lemieux. Mm-hmm. Lemieux and Gretzky. I'll take anyone else in the league on a breakaway. Really? I'll take Brendan Shanahan's five-hole shot every time.
After covering the Oilers for as long as I did, Wayne wasn't even the best breakaway guy on the team. You know, when you looked at Glenn Anderson and Jari Kurri, even Mess, I mean, there was a bunch of guys there, Paul Coffey, that could really do a pretty good job on a breakaway.
But the big thing with Wayne was that when the game was on the line, you put the puck on his stick.
Yeah. Sure.
Because it was money every time. And I remember, you know, the very first game he played, we played Detroit, first goal of the game, Wayne. And that was the night they did the introduction. So 35 was me. And then the next number was 99. It's funny how the game's changed, right? Mm-hmm. There's all those numbers between. And they went through all of his accolades, you know, most goals in the NHL, most goals in the regular season. It took 19 minutes, John.
longer than a shootout.
Longer than a shootout to come up with all the records. And the crowd got louder and louder.
It was quite a night.
And then he came on the ice and scores. First goal for us. We played the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs that year, his old team, game seven.
Clinching goal.
Yeah. It's storybook, start, finish, the Stars write it. John doesn't write it. Glenn doesn't write it. Darren doesn't write it. They write it.
Let me ask you this. With the news coming out in Las Vegas and William Foley admitting that he's been in touch with a few former NHLers, Murray Craven being one, but Wayne as well. And Wayne has a business dealing with William Foley in the wine business in Sonoma County. Where do you see Wayne's role in this? And can he be successful on that side of the hockey world?
Yeah, I don't think you can have the knowledge that Wayne has and not be able to make an impact on an organization. Let's say we were to have him call a free agent player. Hello, it's Wayne Gretzky. You going to take Wayne Gretzky's call? Mm-hmm. You think?
At least you're going to get an audience, right?
going to get an audience. Come to my team. Come to Las Vegas. This mm-hmm. Foley guy's got it figured out. Now, I don't know if you can't have Wayne scout. Can you imagine him sitting in a game in Gatineau? Like, there wouldn't be anyone watching the game. He'd be lined up to get an autograph for him. So there's a role for him for sure. But from what I saw from Wayne in the two times I played with him, once in L.A., once in New York, mm-hmm. he's a guy you'd hire immediately.
I just want to clarify one thing.
He remembers everything.
You guys get Wayne Gretzky with the LA Kings. The first training camp is in Victoria?
Victoria. They always had training camp in Victoria.
Okay.
And
you're trying to grow this game. You got the biggest star in the NHL and you hold training camp.
Where you got to take a ferry to get to the island, yeah.
Things changed in a very quick time on the business side for the LA Kings when they changed to black and silver. And Roy Molacher took a more active role in how to grow the game, how to make money from the game. I mean, those circus trips that you guys used to do in training camp, preseason games all over to generate revenue, grow the game. How many, like some cities?
First game I ever played was in Nanaimo. And we took the bus up and we played Vancouver. And that Vancouver Canuck team was absolutely filled with knuckleheads. As the LA Kings were filled with knuckleheads, we had everybody.
You had your share.
JP Kelly and you name it. Go down the list. And that first game, I can still remember, 3-3 tie, and we finished the game with two players on the bench. I'm thinking,
one was the backup goalie,
Mr. College guy, going, "This is the NHL? Mm. Are you kidding me?" But once Wayne got there, then all bets were off. I mean, we went from Culver City, which was the rink we practiced in. My first year had a bike with a left pedal and a speed bag That's it for fitness.
Wow.
Get yourself in shape, boys, with nothing. And no lines painted on the ice. So you would take the net and you would kind of put it where you thought the net would be. And if you got scored on stick side, I just moved the net. I didn't change my style, but it's changed now.
We're way late for a break. Back with more, including the Edmonton Oilers. Another defeat, but some shocking numbers out of this slump, this tailspin that they're in. May surprise you. Reason to be optimistic? Probably not, but we'll throw them at you anyway. It's Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Television Networks, and on the NHL Network in the United States.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon this Friday. Doug McLean, Nick Kiprios on assignment. Glenn Healy and John Shannon in the studio. You don't like it when I talk about them.
That's a fine.
I'm not going there, Darren.
Time for the Hockey Central 3 stars. We usually have music, but it hasn't shown up yet.
What is it, out for lunch? Oh, there it is.
Well,
I feel like I'm at Disney.
Do you like it?
I like it. Yeah,
I think it's very creative.
What about Nick and Doug? What do they do?
How many times does he mention his two little chums on the show? Well, Nick said last week,
it's a drinking game. It's a drinking
Kipper and Kippy and Macadoodle Dondi and all these nicknames. John,
I'm going to go with Andy Kopitar.
Oh, boy, that's really going off the board there.
Because he had 5 points last night.
Yeah, wow.
And there's a lot of people in L.A. saying it's about time.
Well, they battled back, tough road trip, and they found a way. They found a way to win a hockey game, which is lately has been very tough for them. What, Martin Brodeur, I'm not sure that this thing's going to really work out the way we...
How do you suspect it's supposed to work out?
I think that when... Brian Elliott comes back.
Yeah.
Brodeur may just drift away.
Yeah.
But wasn't the idea to showcase himself and get picked up?
Well, how has he done that so far?
That's what I...
Yeah.
My favorite Olympic moment was Kopitar and his dad hugging.
Yeah. It was spectacular. And the one-man attack that they had during the one game that actually you and I worked on in Sochi.
But it was the first win ever in that country's history. And to my left, I looked, there was guys crying on the bench. You know, David Rasinger, who's he? You know, 38-year-old guy, four-year-old guy, who never got a chance to play in the Olympics, and they win the game, and Kopitar and his dad hug. It was just, that's a better moment than your little five-point night.
I would suggest, and we got to keep the music going now, because I would suggest that Anze Kopitar's play in Sochi is the reason they're changing the rules to the World Cup.
And making an all-star team.
Making a non-Nordic team for Europe, yes.
I like that idea. Do you have a star, by the way? Did you pick one?
Yes, you did. He did.
I did. And we spoke a lot about California today.
We did.
Wayne Gretzky coming to California. Remember Culver City? No lines on the ice. Well, for me, it is a guy
who?
California raised, actually from the Bay raised.
Pleasanton, California.
Matt Tennyson.
Right on.
Got a goal last night, and not often can you say that a guy, local grown, San Jose, scores a goal in a game. And that, to me, is a really good story because I remember playing games when San Jose first came in the league. I got a shutout against them. It was the easiest shutout in the history of hockey. We played at the Cow Palace where you used to change up the stairs, and it was like the dressing rooms were for like singers and actors, and it was a joke of an organization, no longer a joke, and now they're raising homegrown products.
Matt Tennyson is the first member of the San Jose Sharks junior hockey program that has played for the Sharks and scored a goal.
And I call him Matty. That's my nickname. Matty. What do you call him?
Tenny,
I thought so. Yeah.
Don Cherry played a lot of games at the Cow Palace.
Doug McLean was a coach there, and Kippy was a healthy scratch there.
Shanny, who's your star?
My star is Calvin Pickard in a losing cause.
Did you forget who your star was there for a minute?
No, because I was trying to figure out where he played junior hockey. He played junior hockey in Seattle. Calvin Pickard, who was the goaltender for Patrick Waugh's Colorado...
Picky.
The pick. The pick. The pick man. Anyway, Calvin Pickard, 47 saves in a loss in overtime to the Pittsburgh Penguins last night that was on Sportsnet. Colorado had no reason to be in this game after the second period. Pickard was the only reason they got a point. The defense was porous. He was spectacular. And even the winning goal by Blake Como, he stopped. He made two saves and couldn't get any help to clear the rebound. Unbelievable. Calvin Pickard, he's the only good story right now for the Colorado Avalanche.
Toronto Maple Leafs lost last night. They're winning. That's the three stars. Their winning streak comes to a close against a team that hadn't won in six games. Those tough games for you to play?
Well, there's a couple factors. One, you've been at home for a long time, and then you get to go on the road, and you're playing really in front of nobody. There's not a big crowd there, and not that that...
That shouldn't matter.
But it does. It's the energy that you've got to muster up sometimes to play lousy teams, and they are a lousy team in Carolina, and you've got to play... with that certain level of work ethic and detail, and then your talent will take over. And they didn't match the work ethic or the detail of Carolina. And the flaws and warts in their game showed up. Now, that being said, it's a wonderful little run for them, and they've got to get back at it on Saturday against Philadelphia. But, you know, those are games you want to bank because you're going on the road for a long period of time with the World Juniors in your building.
15 of 19, I think, then are on the road the next one, including the seven-game road trip that starts after the Philly game, the back-to-back in Chicago. Carlisle's already changed the lines up this morning. He's moved Joffrey Lupul up to the top.
Why? Do you not have a good night? -3?
Here's the problem is that we've talked a lot over the last little while about, you know, the 12 forwards and the depth of the forwards. We talked how great the goaltending is. I'm not sure the defense has really changed very much. And when all you do is outscore the opponent and rely on your goaltender, those six guys that are playing D, they put Roman Polak back in last night for Kerbinian Holzer. Holzer had played pretty well.
I really like his game. And he's got to the point where, you know, he would not clear waivers.
No.
If he's sent down. And I like his game to the point that Cody Franzen, to me, is an expendable piece.
You're talking at the end of the season?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone talks about what they're going to pay him.
Well.
And whether he's going to be overpaid.
And by the way, when you talk about Holzer not being able to get through waivers, you know darn well that Winnipeg would have taken him when you consider the four defensemen they've lost, and they had to make a trade for Jay Harrison yesterday.
We're finger cooking lunch today. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com. Over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza. So we appreciate their continued support. Oh, this weekend, who do you have? You doing Toronto, Philadelphia on Hockey Night in Canada?
Well, I'm going to be watching Mac and Kippy on Saturday night. The Kipster and the Maxter. You too, Darren. And we've got the Between the Benches.
You're
Saturday
such
night.
A smart ass.
I know.
Can you stay out of Randy's way?
He's grumpy at times on Saturday. I don't think he likes the massive contingent of media that's down there Saturday when we all kind of show up and never wants to talk to any of us.
No, one day we're going to ask the right question. He's going to actually tell us who's starting in goal. Randy, who's your goaltender?
It's a different animal.
No.
What hometown hockey we should also mention in Kingston.
Kingston?
With Ron and Don.
Absolutely. It'll be a great night there. And, that's the Chicago-Toronto game. And don't forget that our hockey coverage starts on Saturday night on Sportsnet with the world's greatest pregame show, Merrick, Shannon, and Stock at 5 o'clock.
And they give me... maybe 30 seconds.
That's all you
show.
Deserve.
That's all I get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watch it just to see the guys getting ready in the background.
That's the whole idea. That is the concept. It's like a pregame show at a football stadium because you watch the players warm up behind you. You watch that. That's the whole concept of what we're trying to create.
So you're promoting.
We're part of the we're promoting
to the foreground.
We're promoting to watch national games on Saturday night.
This is how much John enjoys being on TV. So Ron comes in and does his segment.
Yeah.
Shanny leaves the studio and then stands right behind Ron.
Yes.
For 4.5 minutes walking back and forth.
I wanted to play ping pong on the big table, but they won't let me.
I'd like to see you playing ping pong.
I'm pretty good there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's too bad that Mac and Kipper weren't on the show, though.
Thanks
you know?
For watching. On behalf of Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean,
who will return on Tuesday.
No.
Well, actually, no, Doug's gone for the
holidays.
Who's
in for him?
I don't know. Maybe he is.
Or should he?
Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.